Sorry, we are getting late. Okay, so we finished the review of the previous section. Are any more points anybody wants to share? The first 7 verses we discussed last time. So who is the Kshetrajna? Knower of the body.
Soul.
Soul, and there is other?
Super.
Individual knower and super knower.
Super
soul. So individual knower knows only about this body, whereas the super soul knows about all bodies. Yeah. It's a distinction. Prabhupada says, okay. Any more points? And in the last 2 verses, the more details of the field of activities is given, right? Like the divisions of what is this body constituted of and all the lot of details, right? So we discuss about this 24 elements. Yeah, any?
We talked about Annamaya, Pranamaya. What are these, Mataji? These are levels of
Realization of Brahman, he's saying. So the first 3 are like usually he's saying stuff. The living entities can come. The material realm, that's for first 3 we can realize. Annamaya, Jnanamaya, Vijnanamaya. Like Annamaya means consciousness that the Lord is food. No, I relate with the Lord only about food, like the small baby. Then Pranamaya means like I exist. No, I have my desires, I exist. And Jnanamaya means, you know, I have realization beyond the living symptoms. That means there is mind, there is thinking, feeling and willing. Vijnanamaya means the living entities. Now I know I am different from my body and mind actually. No, that these 2, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya, is the realization of full Supreme Lord. These 2 are like, you know, transcendental realm. Vijnanamaya means already I am self-realized. Anandamaya means like I am realizing Krishna also as Supreme Lord. So, of course, this is very detailed, but you know, it's not very summarized. But maybe, you know, we can find more details elsewhere. I don't know. I have not come across that. So that's basically Prabhupada is saying these are different ways or stages of realization, realizing Brahman. Or rather, you know, Krishna. Okay, so that's one thing. Any other points or questions or comments? It's okay.
And we are the finite enjoyer.
Infinite enjoyer, yeah. Yeah. Krishna is the infinite enjoyer. Amit Prabhu, you want to share something?
Just a question, just to revise again. In the first verse, when we say Purusha is...
enjoy, yeah, basically is...
the enjoyer means
soul.
Soul.
Then what is Kshetra Yajna? That is also soul.
Kshetra, that's also soul. Yeah.
And the Kshetra is body.
Yeah.
Prakriti,
yeah. So he's saying Purusha, Kshetra, Kshetrajna. Yeah, Prakriti, Purusha. Okay, let me see. Purusha, what is Prabhupada, word to word? The enjoyer, it says. Okay, it doesn't mean whether it's a individual enjoyer or... Okay, we'll maybe know more details will come later. At least we know there are 2 types of enjoyers, right? There is a finite enjoyer and infinite enjoyer. Yeah. No, specifically this question, I don't know whether Prakriti Purusha, I have to refer to my notes and see even in the translation, in the purport, Prakriti nature, Purusha the enjoyer, Prabhupada is saying. So, you know, it doesn't know, it may mean Supreme Lord, it also means living entity who is trying to enjoy the material nature. I have to look at my question, my answer sheet and see, clarify. Okay. Go to this section today we are going to cover, very very nice section, no? 8 to 12, especially these verses. Krishna is now beginning to explain what is knowledge, because that's one of the questions Arjuna asked, right? Tell me what is knowledge, what is object of knowledge, that's what he's trying to answer here. So these 4 verses talks about the process of knowledge, or beginning from humility one comes to realize the Supreme Lord, you know, ultimate object of our knowledge. Or basically soul, understanding the difference of soul and super soul and body, applies this process of knowledge and can realize the Supreme Lord. So by applying this process of the knowledge, or basically this process of devotional service, one can eventually realize the Supreme Lord. So let's see what is this process. He describes different aspects of the process. Okay, let's read this verses. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa shanti rajavam acharyo pasanam saucham stairyam atmavinigraha indriyatesu vairagyam ahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosanu darshanam asaktirana vishvangam tradara grahadishu nityam cha samachittatvam istanishtopatishtashtu mai chananyam yogena bhaktiravya vicharini vivikta desha sevitvam aratir jana samsadi adhyatma jnana nityaitvam tatva jnanartha darshanam etajnanam iti proktam ajnanam yat atonyata. Very sweet verses. So Krishna is saying humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of spiritual self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So anything else besides this, if we are very very much attached or attracted, no, we should understand it's ignorance. So beginning with humility, if one practices all this pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, and finally, you know, cultivation of spiritual life, unalloyed devotion to Krishna, then eventually he will realize Supreme Lord, the complete object of knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying. It's clear, the question and answer? Okay. So now, some of the points which our teacher discussed here, he said these are actually 20 items. If you know, make a note later on, there are 20 items. Among this, first 15 apply to both devotees and jnanis. First 15 apply to devotees and jnanis. 16 applies only to devotee. I don't know what is we have to come. Yeah, I think constant unalloyed devotion to me. That applies to only devotees. 17 and 18, aspiring to...
The verse, Mataji?
The quality.
The translation, there are 20 qualities.
Where are those qualities? This like
8 to 12.
Humility, all
yes.
Those things.
Yeah, these are all 20 qualities.
17 to 8.
Yeah. First 15 are devotees and jnanis. 16th, that means constant unalloyed devotion to me is 16. That's only for devotees. 17 to 18 are for devotees and jnanis. That means aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from general all mass of people. Okay, this devotees and jnanis. And 19 to 20, that means the last two, accepting importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. They apply to only jnanis. Okay, so this verse is common for both jnanis and devotees. Some of them apply only for devotees, some of them only for jnanis, but basically 17 of them are common between both devotees and jnanis. Three of them are, one is for only for devotees, the other two only for jnanis. Anyway, these are details. So we may think, you know, what is this philosophical search for absolute truth? We don't do research, right? We already accept Krishna. So that's why, you know, it applies to jnanis. So that's one thing. What else? Yeah, we can go on. This purport,
which
of course,
is 16 after me?
16 is unalloyed, constant unalloyed devotion to Krishna. That's only for devotees. If you count backwards, you can come to 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This purport, Prabhupada obviously painstakingly takes the time to explain each of these qualities in the proper context. So we'll try to, you know, it's a huge purport. We'll try to get some, you know, significant points from the purport and, you know, to dive deep into what these qualities mean. So from the third line of the first paragraph, if one accepts this process,
If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements, and the process of knowledge as described here is the means to get out of it. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir abhyabhi charini. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So, if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes to devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him.
We can pause it. Let me briefly some comments about this. So one point Prabhupada is saying is, this process of knowledge is not any interaction of these 24 material elements which we discussed earlier. But it's actually a way in which we can get out of this engagement made of these 24 elements. See the point? So this will make us transcendental to this material realm. Right? That's one point. So actually, then Prabhupada is saying among these 20, there is one crucial item, which is coming to unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So once we come there, all other items can be easily achieved because of mercy of the Lord. But if we do all these things without that essence of coming to the unalloyed service to the Lord, then it's actually, he's saying, it's waste of time. It's similar to Bhagavatam verse which says, Shama eva hi kevalam. That's the last few terms in the Sanskrit verse. I don't remember the beginning of that verse. Shama eva hi kevalam, it says, you know. Means the effort is nothing but waste. That's the translation. Shama eva hi, nothing but waste. Kevalam, it's useless. So whatever austerities we perform, sacrifices and all these things we do, that verse says, and duties we perform, so-called in the material world, if ultimately it doesn't come, bring us to the point of attraction to the message of the Lord, attraction, developing the attraction to hearing the messages of the Lord, then it's all useless waste of time. Like, you know, whatever occupational duty we do, whatever services we do, whatever association and time engagement we do, it should help us develop attraction to hear the message of the Lord. That means it should help us move forward in the path of self-realization. Otherwise, it's, you know, when from the, if you look from Krishna's point of view, it's waste of time because we are not spiritually advancing. Right? Otherwise, it's, for us, it may feel like, oh, wow, you know, 1 hour I discussed about some game, or, you know, it's so valuable. I got information about how to invest in stocks. So many things. We may feel like that. But from spiritualist or transcendentalist or pure devotee or Krishna point of view, it's because ultimately in eternal sense, there is no use, right? So that's very, very strong point Prabhupada is telling. Another point he's saying is, why taking shelter of Krishna will help us develop the other qualities. The point he's saying is, if you surrender to Krishna, all other items can be easily achieved. Why is he saying like that? We discussed this concept earlier.
Because the Lord gives what you lack.
So, you know, once you have taken shelter of the Lord, Lord decorates us with those qualities, whatever is necessary, and we don't have to separately endeavor for them. Right? It's all included in our devotion to the Lord. And when the Lord feels like, okay, this devotee can get some humility, you know, that makes it more attractive. This devotee can make, you know, I can make him more tolerant, you know, because he's getting so much taste in my service, he can become tolerant automatically. Right? So Krishna decorates these qualities. But if we leave that main thing and start developing individually, oh, let me cultivate humility, let me cultivate tolerance and everything separate from him, then they just stand alone on its own and there is no connection to the root. So it's just, and they disappear just in a matter of time. Because it's not spiritual. Okay. So continuing further.
As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse, Isasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvater gunes tatra samaste suraha. All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. The principle of accepting a spiritual master as mentioned in the 18th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculative beyond this is nonsense.
So another quality Prabhupada is emphasizing here is accepting a bona fide spiritual master. So this is very, very crucial. You know, even though right now, for example, we know all the principles. We know we have to chant Hare Krishna, we have to follow for regularly, everything we know. Seemingly, you know, we can kind of accept Srila Prabhupada as a Siksha Guru and proceed. And actually there is one branch of ISKCON, you know, which say like that, you know, which rejects Prabhupada's disciples as gurus, and they make Srila Prabhupada as a guru and all those things, you know. But we need a living person whom we surrender unto him. So we know. So basically, Madhav always says, by accepting Prabhupada like that, now he's not there. You know, what they do in their system is that somebody checks, okay, they're standing 16 rounds, they're doing everything. Somebody validates, okay, he's ready for initiation. And they sit in front of Prabhupada, and somebody reads out the name saying, Prabhupada gave you this name. Now you're Prabhupada's disciple.
Hmm.
So that's their system. So what Madhava says is, they're actually not even giving a chance for Prabhupada to reject you. See, so they're not living person, right? He cannot even say yes, no, he cannot chastise, he cannot bless, nothing. So that's the danger actually. So we can just mentally keep thinking I'm following properly. Nobody is there to validate what you're doing. So that's very dangerous. So that's why we need a person who can correct us, who can chastise us, we know actually, you know, he's representative of the Lord, and
So Mother, I have a question. Has this thing happened earlier in the past? Like, so far I read like Guru Parampara has been transferred to the Guru only, living Guru only. Like,
yes, yes.
Okay. So
this system is there even now
first
currently.
Time they have
it's there in ISKCON. There's
it's a concept that you are explaining. Has this happened earlier in the past,
Acharya?
This is like something unique they just discovered.
I'm not sure. No, generally, usually, you know, all concepts,
it's like,
usually they would have happened long time ago. We are not so smart actually to figure out anything new, even if it's bogus. So like, for example, when Prithvi Maharaj, he wanted to do the 100th horse sacrifice, then Indra becomes very envious because Indra has a position of 100 horse sacrifices. So he becomes envious and he steals that horse. So he doesn't let the last horse sacrifice happen. So his son goes, chases him and try to get the horse back. And how Indra takes the horses, he comes up with different variety of sannyas avatars, all bogus sannyasi. Basically, he's cheating, right? So he comes as Naga Baba without any dress sometime, and sometimes he came something weird sampradayas. And it's said in Bhagavatam, he is the origin of those sampradayas. From then, Naga Baba sampradaya came. This sampradaya, that sampradaya, all the sampradayas came. He originated them. So, and all this, you know, and even in, like, if you go back, when Prabhupada talks about in somebody defying the Lord, then he says, you know, so what we see now is not new. It's already done there. You know, there are big demons who already defied the Lord, and now we are just doing it in a small way. So we are not even that big demons, actually. So, that's the point. It should have done earlier somewhere. So, we have to figure out where it is. Yeah. And that's my guess anyway.
So, here the line says, transcendental life begins when accepts a bona fide spiritual master.
Yeah.
So, when you are saying bona fide spiritual master is Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru only, that what is the stress here? Like, Diksha Guru or Siksha Guru is also okay?
Yeah, mostly Diksha actually. Yeah, Diksha. Diksha. Yeah. Or even Diksha Guru also, it need not be exactly the moment of initiation. It's not just the formality of an initiation. See, even Diksha Guru, we may accept like one, and after maybe 1 year, 2 years, sometimes some people have to wait 10 years, they get initiated.
That is also counted.
Okay. Because I'm in the heart, I've accepted him, and now I'm taking guidance from this particular person.
Mataji, small doubt between difference between Siksha and Diksha Guru is what I forgot.
Yeah, there's not much difference. Actually, Shastra says they are very, in the sense they should be considered as equal.
No,
but only thing is, Diksha Guru means, Diksha means Diksha, right? Initiation.
Okay, yeah.
So he gives initiation. That means he takes your karma and he gives you the holy name, officially the holy name. Right? He is the main person who is connecting you to Guru Parampara. He's the link. Siksha Gurus are his brothers, basically, our sisters or whoever.
Like you.
For example, for us, Siksha Guru is Prabhupada, right? And like for example, our spiritual master is Srila Prabhupada's disciple, right? And his brothers, that means Srila Prabhupada's other disciples, are our Shiksha Gurus. So our spiritual master is our Diksha Guru, right?
Oh,
he gave us initiation.
Mm.
But his brothers, basically his god brothers.
Okay. Shiksha is in education.
Education.
Okay.
Of course, you know.
So
anybody,
that's why I said you, Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At our level, we can
that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But we can consider like that. But no, but this is like guru, right? That's a high term I'm saying. You know, we may be helping you in some way, but yeah, so the guru word is very heavy. You know, we cannot use it like that loosely.
Okay,
so for us at this level, it's Harilas Prabhu, we consider him our Shiksha Guru, and his god brothers, and if we have a Diksha Guru, we have a Diksha Guru. Otherwise, all his god brothers, god sisters can be our instructing spiritual masters.
So, Harilas Prabhu cannot give us Diksha?
Right now, not. Basically, there is a formality, GBC should give permission, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the line, like, you know, in this, he is waiting for the permission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he is ready, he is qualified to give initiation. Yeah.
Mataji, you said Guru, they take away your karma, but where exactly it is mentioned in any Shastric evidence is there that they will take away your karma because your karma is yours, right?
No, no. Basically,
any particular verse it specifies that?
Yeah, that time, I don't know. I didn't come across it, but I can definitely, you know, it's very important to find out where it is. I'll also do a research and find
because
out.
Because Krishna only says that Sarvadharmam Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Vrajami.
Yes.
Sarva Papeti. So that's when he emphasized that I can take away your karma. No, like he did.
No, but spiritual master is representative. So basically Krishna only is taking away, but there is a person who is acting on behalf of Krishna to do that. See, Krishna directly cannot interact with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not so qualified. So that's why spiritual master is a pure representative of Krishna. So through him we get blessings, through him he gives service, and through him we get mercy. And through him, he takes away karma, basically. At the moment of initiation, it is said that almost 99% of your karma is... Actually, it's not eradicated, it's put on hold, Harivala Prabhu says.
Mm-hmm.
Put on hold. So that he can give a chance for us to progress without any hindrance. And if suppose we fall down, do some mistake, then Krishna uses this remnants of the karma to give us some token reminders once in a while, you know, wake up, you know, be serious about spiritual life. So it doesn't mean now I mean like, okay, hassle free and scot free, I can do all kinds of nonsense after initiation. Then we are fallen and now everything acts more worse actually, more, it becomes more intense, more severe reactions we get. Yeah.
That's a very deep matter, so we'll talk about
that. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, very nice point, Jack. Yeah. We'll continue, at least this section we should cover this time. Okay, continuing next paragraph, humility. Like second line, humility means...
Mataji, can you read please? Yeah. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body? Anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless.
We can pause there. So, very nice definition of humility. Usually, we don't have proper definition. Humility means we think, oh, I should be like this. Anybody can scold me. I should be like a doormat. Right? We don't know, right? The spiritual conception is, one should not be hankering to be honored. Okay, am I recognized here? Am I worshipped here? No, that honor, seeking prestige, that should not be there. So if it comes or doesn't come, it doesn't matter because it's bodily related. That's what Prabhupada is saying. It's a huge topic actually, you know, cultivating humility. It's a very crucial for spiritual life. Next paragraph, we'll discuss about non-violence.
Non-violence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body. But actually, non-violence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life and they perpetually suffer material pains. So, unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement.
Mm.
That is non-violence.
Mm. Very nice. You know, whatever conceptions we have about non-violence, we have to see from a spiritual point of view what Prabhupada defines. He's telling any harm we do others to others, it's violence actually. Or rather, in real terms, he's saying if we obstruct somebody's spiritual journey, that is violence. Like, for example, if you kill an ant, right? The ant has its own journey. At a certain period of time, it has to die and go to the next life. But you're obstructing its life. So then, we are not helping its advancement. So then, we are committing violence. Really, it's physically also, we can say it's violence because I'm, you know, killing its body. But in a spiritual sense also, it's violence. And also causing distress to others is violence. There is a very nice incident related to this. Even before Prabhupada came to US, when he was in Jhansi, remember, first he tried to establish in India, in Jhansi, League of Devotees. He established, right? That time, 1951, Prabhupada was asked to talk in a Gandhi's appearance day on non-violence. He was asked to request to speak. That is, Prabhupada was writing it, you know, it was 20 years earlier. When he was writing this, stating that story, he was telling it was 20 years back, I did this, it happened, this incident. So then he was talking about non-violence. He explained what is non-violence. He was telling that if I have a right to access something and I am stopped that right, then that is violence. Like, for example, I have access to come into my own home. But if some, let's say, police or somebody stands in front, or somebody, you know, puts a gun and say, don't enter your home, that is violence. So I have right to access something. I have right to live this body. Somebody kills my body, then it's violence. Right? So you understand, his definition is, I have right to have access to something, and if I'm blocked for that, it's violence. He defined violence. And then he said, what are you guys asking me to talk about non-violence? Actually, all of you are committing great violence. Because people are born in India, they have a great chance for spiritual advancement and making perfect their life. But by introducing this materialistic culture and this culture of sense gratification, you are making them lose the chance for spiritual life. So you are all committing great violence, and you are asking me to talk about non-violence. That's what he quoted in the class, in that seminar on Gandhi's appearance day. So boldly, that he told 20 years back. So that's very, he was very clear in his knowledge, we can see
concept,
that. Yeah, concept. It's not like, oh, when he came to US after some time, you know, he started reading and he got everything clear. We can see, right? He was already so perfect. So
basically, this applies to yourself. So like ours own,
yes.
Also, like if you are not letting your soul
exactly
proceeding in a spiritual,
yes,
advancement, then you are atmabhati, you are killing.
Yes, atmahana. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Killer of the soul. So even ourselves, if we don't give the chance for the soul to experience spiritual life, or don't actively, go towards activities or engagements where it helps us in spiritual life, but rather choose the other opposite side, then we are actually committing violence against ourselves. We are killing the soul's propensity to love God. That's in essence. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So next one, tolerance.
Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. If one is engaged in the advancement of spiritual knowledge, there will be so many insults and much dishonor from others. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Even a boy like Prahlad, who only 5 years old was engaged in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, was endangered when his father became
antagonistic
to his devotion. The father tried to kill him in so many ways, but Prahlad tolerated him. So there may be many impediments to making advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant and continue our progress with
determination. So, you know, so many impediments will come. Either it had already come or it will come soon. But then, you know, we should always tolerate and focus. You know, we know what is right, just focus. Anybody wants to share any experiences? Have you faced any impediments? And, you know, you stood fast and you see that, you know, you're making progress from your family members or some relatives, you know, they would be criticizing you, you know, what are you doing or something. Anybody wants to share? It was easy then, all of you. Easy to practice Richard.
We have to start practicing Mataji, then the impediment
is ourselves.
I was thinking the biggest impediment was me. So, how to cross?
I see Mataji, the biggest impediment is like a determination and consistency. Like I know few things theoretical, like we should do this, but the consistency is not like 100% there. Like every day should be the same, right? So that is
very nice. Okay. Okay, continuing further. Simplicity.
Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy.
Without diplomacy.
Especially in Vaishnavi, when dealing with devotees, we don't need to have diplomatic dealings, you know, we can be just straightforward and simple.
As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential, because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. Or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation.
So this section is talking about spiritual master and some secrets of making advancement. In one of the purports, Prabhupada says, secret of success in spiritual life is pleasing a bona fide spiritual master. So it's very, so if one, somebody wants to find out, you know, okay, we have so many rules, regulations, so many things. Okay, we know chanting of Hare Krishna is a primary thing. But among this process of devotional service, is there any secret? You know, kind of like, you know, shortcut or what to say, you know, lottery. Anything is there. Is mainly, you know, if you please a bona fide spiritual master, with his blessings, we can make amazing advancement. That's what he's saying. Prabhupada here is clarifying. I just noticed, he says, that will make disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. That means even if he is not qualified to follow regulative principles, he's stumbling. Like, you know, as Swami Prabhupada was saying, one day doing this, one day doing that, again going back and forth. Even if we are at that stage of very much, Ranga Tarangini, Prabhupada Manas says, even if you are at that stage, somehow if you please a bona fide spiritual master, he may give blessings by which we can, without our knowledge, without our desire probably, we make advancement. Or at least following regulated principles becomes easier from now on. That, you know, it will not be so much of a nightmare just to stop drinking coffee. You know, it will become easy.
Best example is Shabari, right, Mataji? She was born as a in the forest without anybody to guide her, but just by serving her guru, who gave Ramanama Taraka Mantra, she was able to see the Lord. So that's
secret.
Another example, when Prabhupada came to US and he initiated so many people, even though they are not qualified,
They got the mercy. Became qualified and they became pure devotees, all of them. It's a very nice point. Spiritual master's mercy, because he's representative of Krishna, so then he is fully empowered. Basically, actually, it's more, it's very, very interesting topic, because Krishna devotee is more dear to Krishna than himself. That's the main point, right? We know this point. Krishna's devotee is more dear to him. Because of which, now whenever anybody pleases the devotee, Krishna will become more pleased with him than pleasing him directly. So initially we don't know. We think, oh, I'm serving Krishna, I'm chanting Krishna's name. We feel actually we are directly approaching Krishna. But that's not really the way Krishna would like it. Basically, and another point is, if we come through the Guru Parampara and accept a spiritual master, that itself is taking us a little bit humbler position, you know, servant of the servant, thinking, you know, I cannot approach Krishna directly, let me approach my spiritual master. Because that's the attitude by which we fall down, right? We think I can be Krishna. So same thing. I can meet Krishna, I can play with Krishna, I can serve Krishna. Same thing actually. So many, many detailed points are there. You can have a long discussion about this. So another thing Krishna also says, right? Arjuna, you declare boldly, my devotee never perishes. He could have declared, Krishna. But he says, because when my devotee declares, I will keep his word. That's Krishna's promise. Krishna will never let his devotee's word go in vain. So the secret is, if somehow spiritual master or a very pure devotee, he gives us some blessings. Or says, you know, I pray that this happens. You can assume that it's going to happen. So it's just for the fact that because Krishna will not let his devotee's word go in vain. I've seen that in my life also so many times. Yeah, so, okay, I can tell one incident. So when for a long time, you know, we have been trying to conceive and all this, and somehow, you know, my health had issues, and you know, for various reasons Lord only knows, and of course we were not qualified and all. So we are just waiting years after years after years, or at least seemingly so many years, but only a few years. Then almost, you know, of course we were in close guidance with our spiritual master, and he was guiding us, you know, what to do and all, like instructing us. So then he gave instruction, no, to whatever medically is possible. So then we were trying all this homeopathy, all these things and all. Then, so finally I was one time very disappointed. Of course, you know, I didn't have the faith. I didn't have the faith that, because I didn't have any clear thing. You know, they will not tell, it's going to happen. So for me, dealing with ambiguity was, that my level of consciousness I had, was the most difficult thing. Especially when you have attachment, you want something. Dealing with the state that whether you invest, basically, you know, detached from result kind of thing. I don't have that. No, at that time I didn't have it. So you have to put all the effort, then you don't know whether it's going to happen or not happen. So that's very, you know, very difficult situation. At that time I couldn't handle so much easily. So it's not like somebody will say it's going to happen means okay, pure devotee said then it's fine, right? So nothing happened so far. Nobody told like that. But suddenly one time, I think we all were going for some yatra somewhere, and suddenly I was exchanging email with our teacher Radhakrishna Prabhu, right, whom we really, you know, admire, and like, you know, for his chastity, and he's like an Aishtiki Brahmachari. Especially, you know, somebody who is following the principles very purely, they say something, it's going to happen for sure, because they have the power in the speech because of the austerities. So in that email exchange, I was telling Prabhu, you know, this next time when you come, maybe, you know, you can stay with us. Hopefully if you remain still two, then you can stay with us. So for that he commented, you know, why you are saying you remain two, you should try your best to become three. He actually is a brahmachari. I never expected he would talk anything related like that. But then he said, he said actually, you have blessings of your spiritual master. I'm sure it's going to happen. You just put your heart and work for properly. No, so he said this day, I'm sure it's going to happen. When I read that, actually, that's all, my faith increased like anything. You know, oh yeah, why am I so much, you know, flustered and worried, and it's not going to happen, it's not happening now, why am I not able to see the future, you know. So from then actually changed, it gave me so much faith in the, just to stay stable, endure the time, you know, and then eventually we see it all happened by Krishna's mercy. So yeah, so actually people who have faith can easily transmit that faith. That's the problem, that's the point actually, because he has so much. He's Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple. Tamal Krishna Maharaj is Prabhupada's right hand. He was like known to be a surrendered, sold out devotee of Prabhupada. You know, anything Prabhupada said, he could just achieve it. There is no hesitancy. That's basically, one can do it only when one has full faith in the order of spiritual master, and one can apply himself fully for that order, right? So he was like that, and he Radhakrishna Prabhu is his personal servant for so many years. So when you serve somebody, you absorb their qualities, and by their mercy, you get the same everything. They will become equally potent as their master. Like, you know how Tamal Krishna Maharaj was potent like Prabhupada. Similarly, when I see him, initially I used to get scared because he was as strict as Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj is known to be very strict. So, yeah. So, that faith he instilled in him. Faith in the order of Guru. Exactly. So, that's what he, whenever he communicates, even now recently also we were talking about something, and we were telling, you know, some devotee, yeah, some devotee, they, you know, they conceived like that. So, but they didn't want to reveal until 3 months because it's a norm that they don't share. And he said, no, why you guys worry about all these things? If you have faith in Guru and Krishna, Krishna will protect you. Why you have to worry about all this, you know, sentimental things? Just told like that, point blank. No, because that's his faith. That's how he thinks about things. No longer about this, how I habituated to do this, so that's how I'm going to do. Spiritual life is completely different. Like, you know, so nice, yeah. I think, yeah. Okay. Continuing further. Cleanliness.
Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness means taking bath, but for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind.
Yeah, so the basically internal, external. External we take bath, internal we clean the mind by chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, continue. Steadiness.
Steadiness means that one should be very determined to make progress in spiritual life.
Mm.
Without such determination, one cannot make tangible progress. And self-control means that one should not accept anything which is detrimental to the path of spiritual progress. One should become accustomed to this and reject anything which is against the path of spiritual progress. This is real renunciation.
Mm. Okay, so steadiness means one should be very determined to make progress. At least determination should be there. It need not be manifesting in the activities. You know, okay, every day I chant 16 rounds, same amount, same time, same quality. That may not be there. But despite whatever situation is going to happen, I will chant my rounds. At least that is there. Okay, then self-control means, yeah, same thing, you know, surrender, accept what is favorable and reject which is not favorable. Right? So that is real renunciation. Okay, continuing further. Then Prabhupada talks about actually, you know, senses. Different senses should be engaged in service of the Lord for them to be purified. And then he tells among all the senses, tongue is the most difficult to, or rather uncontrollable sense. If you control the sense, tongue, then all the other senses come in line. So, for controlling the tongue wants to do two things, vibration and eating. So, we vibrate the holy name and eat prasadam. That's the way we control the tongue. I'm just summarizing. Then, continuing further, false ego means, next paragraph.
False ego means accepting this body as oneself. When one understands that he is not this body and his spirit soul, he comes to his real ego. Ego is there. False ego is condemned. But not real ego.
So ego means a sense of I am. Whenever we say I am, that is ego. So I am this body becomes false ego. But I am spirit soul becomes real ego. It's very simple. Okay? Yeah.
In Vedic?
No, we'll pause there. Next paragraph. One should try to understand.
One should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age and disease.
Okay, we can pause there, Prabhupada. Very nice statement Prabhupada is saying. Because usually we forget how what trouble we went through in the mother's womb. The moment we are born, we are surrounded by the affection from the family members. Baby comes out crying, but immediately, you know, they cuddle and they do so many things, so the baby starts laughing. So they forget immediately. But actually it is said pious souls in the womb, and when they get the consciousness at the 7th month, they start praying to the Lord. You know, Lord, let me, please give me the chance. This time when I come out, I will surrender to you. Pious souls pray, not every soul prays. It's given in Srimad Bhagavatam. But the moment we come out, again we forget. So that's why Prabhupada is saying, from reading from Srimad Bhagavatam scriptures, we should understand what are the difficulties in going through the mother's womb. It's graphically described. What is the environment there, how restricted it is, and insects are biting all the time, and you know, the consciousness is already there, but you are restricted, you cannot come out, and now all this, you know, abortions, all those, so much trauma. No, so if we again hear from scriptures, then at least we should have a conviction that, okay, let me not go through again. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it was when I was in my mother's womb. But let me, Lord, let me not go through it again. Similarly about death. Death also, unless we experience, we don't know what it is. But from scriptures, we can understand. And then old age and disease, Prabhupada says, we all have experience. Nobody wants to become old, but we become old. And disease, nobody wants, but they get it. So last three lines Prabhupada summarizes, unless we have a
pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in the spiritual life.
Yeah, so if you think everything is all nice already, then we don't really be so serious about spiritual life. So actually this pessimistic view can help us become more serious. It's not like we are not depressive people, you know, always keep worrying, okay, death is coming or disease is coming. Not like that, but we have a realistic view actually. Realistic view of life. Okay. So then detachment, okay, this is a very good concept Prabhupada is talking about.
As for detachment from children, wife and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy, because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy.
We can pause it. Yeah, so the point here is, you know, we are naturally, you know, wife, children, home, we have affection. But if at all they are not helping us in making spiritual life, you know, towards, then we can reject them. That means we are not too attached to them. That means we are not influenced by their desires and things actually. So we do, like, you know, we give association, but we don't take their association, even within the family life, if they are not favorable. Then for that's another reason, right? Prabhupada had to take sannyas. Because when he wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam, right, commentary, then his wife sold it for tea biscuits. Then he understood that point. That it's not going to work. Then
so
he
why
went.
It was hard for Prabhupada to convince his family? Or it was Krishna's plan? Because if staying inside home, he won't come out.
Exactly, yes. That's what actually all throughout his devotional life, Prabhupada had a plan that, you know, I'm going to earn, make money, and that's how I'm going to serve Krishna. That was his plan. But every effort he made in that direction was failing, like anything. Even though he had all the credits to become successful. He was a very good pharmacist and he was getting a lot of popularity and his business was flourishing. Everything. But purposefully Krishna didn't allow it to happen, because he had a bigger plan for him. The Lord had a bigger plan for Prabhupada. You know, he wanted him to become even more
bigger. Way too bigger plan.
Yeah, way too bigger plan, which he couldn't conceive. So, yeah, and then actually, this is another point, Prabhupada shares himself in his lecture. One lecture, you can look it up if you want. Prabhupada said that when he married his wife, he was not so happy because he didn't find her attractive. Then he went to his father and he said, he found another girl. He said to father, I want to marry this girl. I want to keep two wives. Then his father said, you know, no, just, you know, be happy with what you have. You will see in the long run, it's going to help you. You know, if you are not attracted to your wife, it's going to help you in your spiritual life. He told me. No, just be like that. Then he understood and laughingly Prabhupada said, you know, good that I did that. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't be with you, all of you, you think. So, like that. So, the essential point here is, devotee is so much absorbed in Krishna, or so much in focused on Krishna, he doesn't care about any other thing basically. Anything which is hindering his spiritual life, is willing to give it up with the full faith and shelter in the Lord. No? Like, he knows, it's not that, if we are not at that level, we cannot do it. You know, at this, for example, you know, suddenly now we think, oh, wife is not supporting, I'm not, give up my wife and his children and go. Then if you go there, the moment we'll try to find another wife. Because we are not pure and not so much qualified yet. No, so until that time, we just adjust as much as possible, try to proceed in, you know, how much ever possible. But when we are pure and qualified, Krishna will make arrangements for us more advancement in our life. Okay?
So it is like the responsibility of goal, right? Like, responsibilities are always, and the goal is different. So we have to work towards the supreme goal. Like,
dovetailing the responsibility.
Responsible.
Yes. Yeah, just do it as a duty, basically, without getting attached. Okay. Any problem, any point?
No, I was just joking. This is why you have to marry someone ugly.
Yeah, that's true.
Joke.
Yeah. But if you become very serious about Krishna consciousness, you will find actually, no, you will not be attracted to your wife because of material beauty anymore. No, after some time. But you will be attracted because of their Krishna conscious qualities. You will feel like, you know, okay, she likes to hear about Krishna, she likes to, you know, teach my child Krishna consciousness. And that's what attracts me in her, actually, you will see. Because the now soul is attracting to the, getting attracted to the spiritual qualities of the soul. No longer, you know, this temporary things. Yeah. Okay, continuing further, actually, next paragraph. Happiness and distress.
Happiness and distress are concomitant factors of material life. One should learn to tolerate, as advised in Bhagavad Gita. One can never restrict the coming and going of happiness and distress. So one should be detached from the materialistic way of life and be automatically equipoised in both cases.
Yeah. So this we discussed, right? The matra sparshas to Kauntheya. Krishna says you have to tolerate happiness and distress. So continuing for that, to reach that stage,
we have to practice unbreakable devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna without deviation means engaging oneself in the 9 process of devotional service. Chanting, hearing, worshipping, offering, respect, etc. As described in the last verse of the 9th chapter. That process should be followed.
Yeah, so if you want to be equipoised in happiness and distress, Prabhupada is also telling there is a process. The process is doing the regulative principles without any deviation. That means the chanting, hearing, absorbing ourselves in Krishna. So we can also come there. That's the point Prabhupada is saying. Come to the stage where we are equipoised in happiness and distress. Next paragraph, naturally when one is adapted to the spiritual life.
Naturally when one is adapted to the spiritual life, he will not want to mix with materialistic man. That would go against his grain. One may test himself by seeing how far he is inclined to live in a solitary place without unwanted association.
Oh, we could pause there. So here the point is, we don't want to mix with materialistic men, but you know, it doesn't mean we don't, general people who want to enjoy basically. And then living in a solitary place means living without unwanted association. If you don't mind, like for example, living in a temple is also a solitary place where there is only topics about Krishna. Continuing further, according to Bhagavad Gita, one may make research.
According to Bhagavad Gita, one should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here.
Okay, so basically this point is talking about philosophical research, right? About jnanis. So Prabhupada was earlier saying that some philosophers, they study sex life or some other subject so much, they spend whole life talking about, researching about the subject. But Prabhupada said that's nonsense and then that's useless. But rather one should make research about nature of the soul. You know, who am I? All these things. That's real, you know, that's in towards, it's beneficial towards spiritual life. Next paragraph, as far as self-realization
is concerned, it is clearly stated that Bhakti Yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul. The individual soul and the super soul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception, the devotional conception of life. This service of the individual soul to the supreme soul is eternal, nityam, as it is clearly stated. So bhakti or devotional service is eternal. One should be established in that philosophical conviction.
So Prabhupada is clarifying, among the process of devotional service, self-realization, bhakti or devotional service is the, you know, most practical process again. So let's read the last paragraph, beginning from, Prabhupada is summarizing this whole verse actually.
Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the supreme truth, the absolute personality of Godhead, this process is just like a staircase beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now on this staircase there are so many people who have reached the first floor, the second floor or the third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at a lower stage of knowledge.
Okay, we can pause it. So very graphically Prabhupada is telling, these are different stages. One has to come to the final stage of realizing Krishna or doing devotional service to Krishna, otherwise we are not perfect. Continuing last 3 lines, the beginning of knowledge therefore.
The beginning of knowledge therefore is
Amanitva.
Amanitva, humility. one should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth.
So finally Prabhupada said, that's why for the whole process, the beginning stage is humility. At least accept I'm servant, not like, you know, I am also God. That's what he covered in the middle section, which we didn't read. No, at least begin with I am servant of the Lord, then the process the process of knowledge applies. Finally we will be qualified to realize the Supreme Lord. I think we should pause there, you know, it's already very late. So we can, any questions or comments here in this whole topic we discussed?
So is it the Mayavati concept that they become one with God?
They say actually they are God. So
here you are saying this staircase, I didn't get fully, like, it's about the humility, the
yes,
humility,
pridelessness, no, all these 20 items are there, right?
Oh,
okay. So he's saying one above the other, there are different steps coming towards realizing the Supreme Lord. So one has to go through and come to the final stage.
So, Mataji, as we have discussed that the 16th one, the devotional service, is the main thing.
Yeah.
But still we are discussing these other 19 items, right?
Yeah, we are just understanding what they mean, no? Because we don't know what is non-violence, right? The Prabhupada is just defining. But ultimately, everything, what we have to focus is that, but one thing at least, because we cannot do so many things. The concession given to us, just focus on following the regulative principles, whatever we are doing, 16 rounds and following the 4 regulative principles nicely. You know, develop our connection to the Lord and whole day try to engage everything, see the connection towards our activities to the Lord, and some or the other remember Krishna throughout the day. That's all we need to do.
But like, for example, humility we can practice by following all these things. Parallelly we can practice humility as well.
Yes, right? Yeah.
But the most important is devotional service. Our focus should be more on there rather than humility.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, or other 19.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, because the problem catches sometimes, you know, people get so absorbed in that particular thing, they forget actually whom they are doing it for. They'll become humility conscious rather than Krishna conscious. No, am I humble? In this case, did I behave properly? Rather than, you know, what it means to please Krishna. In this case, did I please Krishna? In this case, did I please Krishna? No, like that. Instead of thinking like that, we think, oh, did I act humbly enough? Like that, you know, some different thoughts will come. So basically, Prabhupada is making clear, just focus on Krishna. Okay, we'll end here. Jai, all Lord Shri Prabhupada.